You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, it is with great reverence and with a very heavy heart that I choose to teach on this topic. It's something you don't hear about often anymore. In fact, many are afraid to preach on this because it is so offensive. And while it gives me no pleasure to talk about this, if I am to remain true to the Word of God, I must warn the wicked of the coming judgment of God. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about the afterlife. I'm talking about hell. In fact, I'm beginning a new series now. Now, this series, I don't know how long it's going to be as far as lengthwise, as far as how many installments of lessons there will be. All I know is that there is much to discuss in this topic, and I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to get into the Word, and I am going to address these issues of hell and heaven and the judgment seat of Christ and all of the questions that arise with those topics. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while. I think it's necessary, and I'm going to start with that controversial aspect of the afterlife, which is hell. Now, very rarely will you hear preachers talking about hell, because they don't want to offend people. And the sad truth is that many preachers are actually comforting people into hell when they should be offending them into heaven. I'm not saying that offense is the key to salvation, but I am saying that truth must be heard if truth is going to be responded to. And so we have to present the fullness of the truth of the gospel. Jesus saves, but what does he save from? He saves from sin and he saves from hell. People are offended at this topic because they don't like to be confronted with the truth. When you begin to talk about the wrath of God or the judgment of God, it is something that is confrontational and people are forced to deal with it. They come face to face with the reality of the consequence of sin. They come face to face with the depravity of the soul of man. They come face to face with the righteousness and the holiness of God. This is why we must present the truth. I was watching a documentary, a medical documentary, on obesity. And there was this woman who was working to overcome her obesity, and she was aided by this doctor who specialized in helping people overcome this problem. Now, I'm not trying to compare sin to obesity necessarily, and I don't mean to offend anyone who's struggling with their weight. But I do need to present this as an analogy because it illustrates the point powerfully. This woman, I recall in this documentary, she was going to see this specialist who was helping her lose weight. And he was helping her with nutrition. He was helping her with the emotional aspects by getting her psychological help and psychiatric treatment. He was helping her by giving her direction, medical direction, and all sorts of different things. And they were working toward a surgery. And this woman was coming to this doctor consistently, and he would keep up with her, and he kept her accountable, trying to help her lose this weight and become healthy. And so every so often, she would come in and visit this man, and they would sit face to face, and he would ask her questions. How are you doing? How is the diet coming? How much weight have you lost? He would weigh her, and he would tell her, if she lost weight, good job. If she didn't, he would say, you really need to pick up the slack here. And so eventually, this woman began to become offended by this doctor's analysis. Every time she would come to see him and she hadn't lost weight, he would be forced to tell her, because he was a good doctor, he would tell her, hey, look, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not sticking to the program. This is why you're not losing weight. And I'll never forget what this woman did. And when I saw this, it struck me. And the spiritual parallel presented itself, or I should say the Holy Spirit presented the spiritual parallel. I remember that she stopped going to the doctor and she said, I'm just going to do this on my own. And they asked her, why is it you're not wanting to go to this doctor anymore? Why is it you're going to go do it on your own? She says, I don't want to go to this doctor anymore because he's not positive and he doesn't make me feel good. And that struck me because there are people who don't want to hear about the holiness of God and the consequences of sin because it doesn't make them feel good. Because they don't want to hear it, they avoid it. The scripture describes that people in the last days are going to have itching ears. They're going to bring unto themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Now, I'm not saying that every message needs to be a hellfire and brimstone message. I'm not saying that every sermon needs to make people feel guilty. And sometimes there is conviction, not guilt, involved when we hear messages. What I am saying is that we must lovingly present the truth. Otherwise, we are forced to really leave people on their own. If we don't present the truth, we are forced into disobedience. There are no other options. Now, I'm not saying that hell is our message. Hell is not my message. My message is Christ and Him crucified. My message is the saving and healing power of God. That's what I preach. But if we're not warning people of the wrath to come, if we're not talking about this consequence, this ultimate eternal consequence to sin, then really we are not doing anyone any good. If all we say the gospel is blessing and abundance and provision and favor, then those who don't see themselves as being in need are not really going to respond to the message. I mean, why would a wealthy person want to be saved if all we're telling them the gospel is blessing and wealth, which it really, that's not the center of the gospel at all. If that's all we're telling them, they're going to say, I don't need Jesus. I have it all already. But if our message is, look, Jesus wants to save you from your sinful state. He wants to forgive you. He wants to wash you. He wants to transform you. And He wants to save you from sin and hell and the consequence of sin and the wrath to come. Well, then when we put the focus like that, when we force them to look inward at their heart, there's no one without Christ who can honestly look at themselves and say, I don't need Him. Every believer must preach truth. Now, as I said, this is not necessarily something that we have to always talk about. And I'm not saying we should even take pleasure in it. I do not take pleasure in talking about hell. The thought of it brings sorrow on me. The thought of it brings a weight on me. The thought that anyone would pass into eternity without Jesus. It breaks me. But I hope it breaks you too. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. I remember one time I was given a vision. I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was given a vision concerning hell. And I'm not saying that my vision has any ground, or it doesn't present really a foundation for saying, oh, that's what hell is like. I think sometimes the visions that God gives to us are metaphoric or symbolic. In other words, if hell was anything like my vision, then hell is a horrible place. But I remember lying in bed and turning over and seeing on the floor this rumbling. And then the ground opened up, and there was this pit, and in the pit there were walls, and these walls were covered in flames and fire, and there were people inside of the walls. Limbs were sticking out, and faces were sticking out, and people were there. It was like they were stuck into the walls in this pit. And I remember feeling the heat rush over my body. Now, I don't necessarily believe that that is what hell looks like, that it's literally this open pit. Who knows? We're going to get into this in the coming weeks, and we're going to go over what hell is like and many other topics concerning hell. And by the way, I'm going to be talking about universalism, which is the idea that ultimately everyone goes to heaven, even if they didn't receive Christ in this world. And that is going to be very interesting, so look for that in the coming weeks. But I'm not saying necessarily that that is what hell is like, but if hell was anything like that, then it was a tormenting place. It was a place that you don't want anyone to go. And I remember being filled with this dread about this place. And I knew that I didn't want anyone to go there. From a very young age, God was speaking to me. God had called me from a very young age. I always knew of my connection with the Holy Spirit. But what I saw shook me. I think of this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is you if you don't preach the gospel. If we do not preach the gospel, nobody will. If believers aren't preaching the gospel, do you think other religions of the world will declare our message? Will the atheists declare Christ? Will the politicians and the entertainment industry spread the message and the love of God? No. It's the church. It's you and I. We've been given a task, and woe is us if we preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid on us. In other words, it is absolutely essential for the sake of the eternity of others that you and I preach the gospel. Your obedience could impact someone's eternity. The scripture also says in Acts chapter 18, verse 6, but when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. For now on I will go to preach to the Gentiles. Paul is saying that now that I've preached the gospel to you, your blood is on your own hands. Your blood is on your own heads. But if he didn't preach the gospel to them, and the blood was on his hands, I don't want to go to heaven with blood on my hands. I don't want to face anyone or see anyone in eternity who I missed. This is why we must be vigilant. Do you realize that eternity hangs in the balance? Now, I want you to really consider the weight of eternity. Eternity really means forever, as we're going to learn in this series. Eternity really is forever. When the Bible says eternal, when the Bible says forever, when the Bible says eternity, it really is talking about an actual forever, something that goes on and on and on and on, never ending, forever and ever. This is why we must consider our words, our actions, our obedience toward what God has called us to do. Why? Because souls hang in the balance. We must preach the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. There is no other way. The scripture declares there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. Only by the name of Jesus are we saved. Now, it may offend others to say that Jesus is the only way, but Jesus is still the only way. It may make others feel excluded when we say that Jesus is the only way, but Jesus is still the only way. It may not be politically correct to say that Jesus is the only way, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the only way. I remember I was on a college campus, and I was joining a preacher who specialized in open-air preaching. Now, his style was much different than I would do it. He was very confrontational, and in my opinion, a little too confrontational, but I'm not going to criticize another's ministry. Some street preachers are known to be very abrasive, but if that's what God has called them to do, okay. So I went to this college campus with him, and he taught me how to preach open air. And so I remember being there. I was about 16 years old, and I'm watching this man preach, and he's going for it. He's talking about the wrath of God. He's talking about the need to repent of sin. And I'm just in awe of how he's drawing a crowd. This crowd of college students who would have otherwise never heard the gospel message, who would have otherwise never stepped foot into a church, as angry as they were with him, they couldn't leave. They were mad. They were offended. They were saying, how could you say this? But then they couldn't leave, and they just stood there listening to the message. They were drawn to it. It was amazing. And so this man is preaching. And this atheist is watching. I knew he was an atheist because I remember either he had a sign or he was wearing a shirt. He was an atheist. The shirt or the sign indicated that he was an atheist, I should say. And so this Christian stands up in the middle of everything that's happening. And I'm watching all of this. This Christian stands up and says to the atheists who are gathered, to the students who are gathered, I want you to know that what this man is saying is not representative of the love of Jesus. Jesus would never talk about hell. Jesus would never confront you on your sin. And he's actually saying this. He's claiming to be a believer saying all of this. I'm thinking, wow, how ignorant. Like, he didn't know the Bible at all. And he was very emotional, almost crying, just saying, please don't judge Christianity by this man. And I'll never forget the atheist. The atheist said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. He said, do you believe what this man is preaching, the Bible? He said, yes. He says, do you believe there is a hell? The Christian, a little more shaken, said, yes. He says, really? Well, I think, and this is the atheist talking now, he said, I think this man is more loving than you. And he pointed at the Christian and he said this. He said, either you don't really care about me or you don't really believe the Bible. Leave it to an atheist to confront the Christian in that way. Do you believe the word? Do you care about souls? And this is a message we can't avoid. I'm not happy about it. It doesn't give me pleasure to know that a hell exists, but it does exist. But so does salvation through Jesus Christ. So does a way out. This is why we must preach the gospel. Necessity is laid on us to preach the gospel. Jesus saves from sin, hell, and the wrath of God to come.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.